With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Welcome to the Dirk Pohlman Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, welcome to the second hour, and my guest is now Maria Hubmer-Mock, a medical doctor from Austria, and I got to know her on the Better Way conference in Vienna about a month ago, and as so many on that conference, she was a medical doctor. She was fired by her clinic at that time because she became the face of the people who were not content with the measures by the state against the COVID disease. And thank you very much, Maria, for being with me on the show tonight.
Hi, Dirk. It's good to be with you on the show. Thank you.
Okay. Maybe you can give us a little bit of your background. So I just told you're a medical doctor. Are you still a medical doctor? And what was the story that, how did that all happen?
Okay. Well, I studied medicine in my hometown, which is Graz in Austria, second biggest city, has just 300,000 inhabitants. And I was working as a general practitioner for over 10 years. And last, I was in a private clinic. And I was working there for over 2 years, and I had a baby break in between. And when I came back, when my child was 2 years old, and that was 2020, the pandemic was already in place. And then, you know, I started to do a campaign, which is called We Show Our Faces, Wir zeigen unser Gesicht. And I started it with lawyers and brave doctors from Austria to warn young adults and parents for the CC19 injections for 12-year-olds and younger kids when they started that in May. And I told my boss at the time that I was doing this video campaign, and he was okay with that. But later on, I was doing an interview in autumn 2021, and I was talking about that there are therapies. I was talking about myocarditis in kids, in young adults, and also that it's absolutely horrendous that they are vaccinating pregnant women. And then I did this interview, and this interview was clicked very often, and I like 350,000 times in 4 days. And after that, I was going back to work. That was a Wednesday morning. I was called to the boss's office, who was a former friend, and he said that I need to leave the clinic immediately. And so I lost my job at that private clinic in my hometown. And just 1 week later, on the 19th of November 2021, as many people in Australia know, the Austrian government declared the mandatory vaccination for all in for all people 14 years and older. Later, they took it for 18 years and older. And the bill was set in place a little later. But when I heard the government was going to put out a bill like this, I said, I'm out of here. And I left on my own will the medical board. So I'm still a doctor because I studied medicine, but I'm not practicing as a doctor. And I'm also a resilience coach and a herbalist. And so I'm pretty much working in this time as an activist and as a resilience coach to help people to stand for their health freedom. Mm-hmm.
It sounds a bit like a war on dissenting medical people, and also it's kind of a war on dissenting science. What do you think has happened? What is the reason that this was possible? I mean, I wouldn't have thought it was possible. So I have a double question. What was your opinion? Did you think it was possible 2 years ago? And what do you think is the reason for this very radical measures, you could say totalitarian measures on dissidents?
You know, I was pretty early in the pandemic aware what was going on, as I knew, and many of Australian people who are listening right now, Dell Bigtree ended the high wire already before the pandemic came in place. So I was watching his weekly show on Thursdays, that's Thursday night in Austria. And right in the beginning, you know, everybody was like, okay, what's going on? What is going on here? And everybody was like, first, okay, there's a new virus, what's going on? And then already in the end of March, by watching the High Wire, I found out so many important things that were going on in the world. And then I could see experts talking, and that they would say very early that the lockdowns were doing more harm than good. And then, you know, I found out so many things, and you would not hear anything about that in mainstream media. And also early in 2020, when we knew there was like this the idea to bring this, as Del Bigtree always said, the vaccine unicorn out, I was really aware what was going on, and was really listening closely to what experts from all around the world were saying. We all know what John Ioannidis said very early, or an Austrian professor, Professor Hadic, who did lots of documentary films, meanwhile, four films. And so I found out that, you know, there is somehow, with the severity and with the death rates that we could see elderly, in the young people, we could see it was not as dangerous as everybody on mainstream media and the governments around the world would say. And then I could see also in documentaries like Plandemic, a very great movie from Mickey Willis, that there was the event 201. I had not heard about the event 201 before. I think the listeners are aware that was this October 2019, this plan game that was done by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And then so I was very early aware already 2020 in summertime that there was an agenda going on, and that it was not about our health.
You organized the Better Way conference, and that was quite a venture that you brought into reality. Maybe how did that happen? How did you get into becoming a media event entrepreneur? So what are you doing there, and whose money are you spending?
Yeah, the thing is that we have the Better Way conference by World Council for Health in May in Bath. And this was a conference for scientists and for doctors, for lawyers, for people who had good ideas about the greater future and how to build a better way together. And as a steering committee of World Council for Health that time, I got to know so many nice independent journalists in Bath in May. And then I thought that we should have, because at that time I was also the media committee chair of World Council for Health. And so I said the media people need their own conference, because doctors very often travel to conferences and just the media people are there to report about it. But I found out in so many talks to independent journalists that they need to raise their voice, that they need to speak to the people and speak to their former colleague, to their fellow colleagues around the world. And so I said, let's do after the May conference in September, a Better Way media conference in Vienna. So that happened then on the 15th and 16th of September this year. And we had also one day Better Way conference with World Council for Health on the 17th. And on the day later, we had a rally in the center of Vienna. And the next day we had a press conference and also great meetings with all the people who came from all around the world. We had Monica Smith with us in Austria. She came with her assistant, Kyla Murray, and her father was also accompanying her. And then we had activists from all around the world, doctors, scientists, and as I said, the media people. So this was a very great event, and we had partner organizations who helped us to also sponsor the event, and we had ticket sales for the event. So that was how we could set the whole thing in place.
What is the bottom line of the conference in terms of science? I think we'll have to talk a little bit about that. I attended the conference, and it started with Professor Bhakti giving a very bleak outlook into the future. Did you know about that? And maybe we should just explain what the outlook is, what at least in the opinion of Professor Bhakti is waiting for us in the next year or so.
Yes, I need to say here, because Sucharit Bhakti and I, we are close friends, that he and I, we really do hope that doctors from all around the world find ways to help people who got the COVID-19 injections, and if they have medical issues already, if they have side effects. But we also need to clarify that, as we know, the vaccines cause harm to the cells that produce the spike protein, that get detected by the immune system, that get attacked by the immune system. And as he always pointed out, it's a big problem that not only the immune system, but also the complementary system is working when the cells produce the spike protein. And so there is this problem with the blood clots, and of course when capillaries in the brain, for example, when cells in the endothelial cells also in the capillaries of the brain die, he pointed out and he made it very clear that so former there were really rare cases of necrotisierende encephalitis, and this is now happening, and we see this in people who died after the vaccine. And so he pointed out clearly that it's really, really dangerous to get another shot and another shot, and he really warned the population to not get another booster. And he pointed the dark future for people who continuously go and get their boosters, because as we know, these are, as he says, deadly poisonous shots. But I always want to make clear, because we probably have listeners who got one or two injections. And what we know from Ryan Cole, the pathologist from Idaho in the USA, some vials were not the same like other vials, and we know that not everybody has severe side effects now, but he also clearly warns people to get another booster. So that's somehow the message from the immunological side and also from the pathological side.
Let's get to the advertisements and then get back to this issue of the shots and the warnings on your conference.
Michael Parker on TNT Radio.
All over social media today, people were talking about how Saudi Arabia is throwing Joe Biden under the bus. Well, you know what? I mean, that's the way it goes. And he kind of had that coming. And they have this statement that basically said, yes, you know, the Biden administration asked us to not cut back on oil production before the midterm, basically asking a foreign country to interfere with our election. Well, they didn't want to do that. And I don't want to be naive here. I think that these kind of things probably often happen between countries, not just about energy, but about other things. You know, hey, I got your back. If you got mine, could you do this for us? Dot, dot, dot. But this time, Saudi Arabia, the fact that they did this, I think, says a lot. This is another piece of evidence that the emperor has no clothes, and Joe Biden is kind of this joke on the global stage. It's like the Saudi Arabians can basically say, no, we're not going to do that, and we're especially not going to do it to help you going into this election.
Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
You're listening to Dirk Pohlman on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And my guest is Maria Hubmer-Mock, a medical doctor from Austria who organized the Better Way conference in Vienna about a month ago. So we were talking about the warnings of Professor Bhakti. And that's quite something to say that you're in danger of myocarditis or that you have blood clots in your veins because they are really that the spike protein that is attacked by your own immune system then creates these lesions, or I don't know what you call that medically, really, what happens. Is it safe to say that? Is there enough evidence? Usually you would be immediately, if you weren't fired, you would be fired now, I guess. Yeah, but so what is the evidence for that?
Yeah, that's the good thing. You know, my colleagues from World Council for Health last year said, when I said, hey, I got fired today, they said, yeah, well, handcuffs off, congratulations. And that's how it felt, you know. So on the 20th of November last year, I stepped on the rally stage and I was doing a speech there. And I felt so good because I knew that the medical board could not sue me for that. So I'm in a kind of special position. I still have a job as a resilience coach and, you know, the medical board can sue me. And I need to tell you, and so many listeners out there know that there is Professor Anne Burkhardt from Germany. He is a pathologist and he is working so hard with so many other pathologists whose name we cannot tell because they need to work undercover still, and others who are also brave enough to show their face. And we have Ryan Cole. So, you know, there is absolutely enough evidence that shows us that these injections are really harmful, and there is absolute proof that you can find the spike proteins, you can find them in body tissue, you can find them in deceased people that that autopsies were done on. You could see so many things already that really showed that it's not that the vaccine stays in your upper arm and then, you know, some immune cells come over and say hi, and then the mRNA is gone and the people just have a little red point or dot on their upper arm and a little fever, and that is it. No, we do know that there is so much harm caused, and that when a liver cell is destroyed, it's not good. But when a brain or a heart cell is destroyed, they never regenerate. So you have a scar on your heart, and brain cells cannot regenerate. We know that. So these injections are harmful, and we can say that openly, and there is so much data and so many pathologists speak up. So it's nothing that I just, you know, or others just say. It's proven. It's proven in pathology labs, and it should not be proven in pathology labs. And we do know that there is a mega increase absolute increased death rates, all around the world. We have an increase in stillbirths. We have people who really look at the data right now. They really look at the data in Scotland, for example, to find out what is going on there with this high rates in stillbirth. And we have them all around the world. And people cannot say it's the climate change if we have if we have high death rates in Iceland, for example, you know. So we have enough proof to say that we immediately need to stop this COVID-19 vaccine campaigns. But what happens just in Australia, or also the EMA just put it through the C19 injections now for 6 months and to 4 year old children. So this is in stark contrast to what we see and where we warn people. And then at the same time, also lately in Australia, these poisonous chaps get their approval for six month babies. So this is a big scandal, and you know, people who really go for that, I don't understand it, you know, because the evidence is out there.
Mm-hmm. You have been called in an Austrian newspaper a specialist for disinformation. What do you think that was the Standard, which is a quite important newspaper in Austria. So what do you think, why do they do that? And I'd like to add, before you answer that question, that Professor Bakhti will now be sued in Germany for allegedly being an anti-Semite. And Professor Bakhti is a very polite Buddhist Thai of Indian origin, and he's I don't know him very well, but he's it's ridiculous to hear that he's nothing. There's nothing Nazi about it, and I consider myself as a German a specialist in that. So it's but why do they smear people this way? What is behind that?
So for my case, I can tell you, when I was doing this interview in November last year, and then I was fired, I was already telling about the data that the CDC even had on their table. That was on June 11th, 2021, for example, when they could see already findings in higher rates of myocarditis and pericarditis. And there was even a table with females and males and the age groups, and it could really, it showed that there would be expected like a number of in the 12 and 17 year olds, for example, in the males, like expected would be 0 to 4 cases. And within 7 days after the injection, like they observed 128 children having a myocarditis pericarditis. Okay, so in the relation. So you could see there was a risk for myocarditis, but of course we didn't have all that data by the time because they just started the campaign in May. And so I was talking about that in the interview in November, and we knew already that that time children passed away in America, for example, a 16-year-old boy and his father, Ernest Ramirez, is really fighting to inform people what happened to his son who regretfully passed away after his, I think, second Pfizer dose. So the thing is that at the time I was doing the interview, the data was not as out as it is now with the study from Thailand that showed very high risk when they were just scanning some kids. They were doing blood tests, they were doing special heart scans, AKG, and they could really show and randomly chose the kids they were examining, they were doing tests on, and they could really show this absolute high risk of myocarditis. And so people would easily say it's misinformation when you point out what's going on and you don't have like a peer-reviewed studies in your hands. But we know that the risk from kids of dying from COVID-19 was 0.0003%. And when you then have a so much higher risk in dying from or getting a myocarditis or having a sudden cardiac problem, then we see this is happening, and this is really happening, and easily newspapers would say you were spreading misinformation, although the cases were out there, but nobody reported about that except independent media, you know.
Yeah, that's what I want to come to, because when I was in Vienna, I noticed there was a crowd of independent media people from all over the world, and I talked to several of them, and one of the astonishing things for all of us was that we noticed how similar the situation regarding, for example, police brutality, demonstrations, the crackdown of the state, the crackdown on dissenting opinions, and so on. It's so very similar that you could get the opinion that, to speak in film terms, somebody wrote a script and it was transmitted all over the Western world. But then on the other hand, when we were there, there was hardly anybody, I think nobody, there was only one crew from the mainstream media who wanted to, they filmed probably a story painting us as on the right, being on the right-wing radical side, at least connected to people from that side and being strange people. So what was the reception of the Better Way conference in the mainstream media in Austria?
So the Better Way media conference was not reported on at all from mainstream media, but we had a film team there, as you correctly said. This film team told me and asked me for permission if they were allowed to film there because they were coming with an independent journalist from Austria. And they interviewed him for their documentary about fake news. And he's a very brave guy and he really brings data on the table. And he said, yes, of course, you can interview me. And then he said he was coming to the Better Way Media Conference. They asked me if they can come. So they filmed there. They also did an interview with me, for example. And the thing is that I'm pretty sure that when they bring out their documentary about fake news, they will just cut the interview into pieces and let us look like crazy conspiracy theorists. But, you know, I don't care. And by the way, a film team of the ICAN, Informed Consent Action Network, for example, filmed my whole interview that I did with this lady from this mainstream media station. So we can then show, of course, how the interview went. And this is also very important for our site to have proof what we said in the interviews when they're going to cut and edit them as they like it. So no mainstream media really covered the Better Way Media Conference. And, you know, I think it is really important. And this is something that I for now really want to say. I mean, if you would show, for example, as I said before, the event 201, if you would show that in mainstream media, and that was happening in October 2019, and then, you know, there was a coronavirus, and then they said it came from bats from a wet market, and then you know that it, meanwhile, it's like 99% sure, and even Redfield, the former CDC director, said it's pretty sure it came from Wuhan, from the Wuhan lab, and they always said that was a conspiracy theory, and now it's somehow proven that it is from the Wuhan laboratory. And so the mainstream media will try their best because for me, everything looks very scripted. And even some media people made somehow a little game on that. They put pieces of mainstream media stations who were saying the exact same words for the exact same topic. So they were reading the headlines and reading the text, and that was all from one big script. And you can see that very often. And so we really need to think who is behind it, of course. Yeah, that's one question. Why is this going on here? And I think it's not so much about pandemic. It's absolutely pandemic. It's not really so much about our people's health. It's about the implementation of structures. We have to be aware of that. So the WHO gains more and more power. We know that there is the WHO treaty, there is the international health regulations amendments. They're really pushing hard on that. That would mean for countries, if they decide on that, to lose sovereignty. And we really need to be aware that now even more, and we heard that from specialists at the Better Way Conference Day on the 17th of September, Professor Bhakti said it, they also want to implement the mRNA technology, not only for the SARS-CoV-2 C19 injections, they want to implement it on the other childhood schedule injections. So there's a big problem here if we know that this technology is doing so much harm. So I really do think we have to be aware what leads to the next, like the COVID-19 injections, and we know it. They forced it on the people. There were the green passes in place. We know that they were not right, because we meanwhile know that even Pfizer didn't test it if the vaccine was against transmission. That was just this a breaking news story from last Monday from the European Parliament hearing. So we all know that, but what is behind it? And then we need to think of, if you have a vaccine in place and people need it to get their job, probably next step is people need the vaccine to get whatever, the money when they are jobless, then they from the states, then they, you know, and there's this social credit system that could be easily set in place if you just link it to things like mandatory vaccination. So it's a whole crazy thing, and the way broader picture that is shown here, and we really need to be aware what's going on around the world.
Yeah, that is, for example, in the European Parliament, they have established everything for a digital identity for every citizen in the European Parliament, in the European Union. So that is a little bit scary, because that looks like control is one topic that they're after. One thing that I really found very interesting on your conference was a lecture where a medical professor was telling us that, in vaccinations, if you have a vaccine, you have to mass produce this. And this, the production of vaccine really is now something like 70% in India, and then in China, hardly in any other country. So producing vaccines is a time-consuming and money-consuming huge enterprise, which is not very, there's not much revenue from it really compared to other things. And so what they did with the mRNA vaccine is to simply dislocate, to outsource this production of the vaccine into our bodies, who are becoming genetically modified organisms with that. But we are the incubator, so to speak, for this, for the vaccine. And then on the other hand, there's no responsibility. If something happens, the contracts are that it's the problem of the governments who decided that because they wanted help so badly. So that looks a little bit, and also there was from the, what's her name, the Australian professor, a lady,
yes,
who
professor
was
Robin,
very interesting.
Professor Robin Cosford. Robin Cosford.
She was talking about the money side, that if you have 1.3, and now I have to be careful because in Europe it's billion, but for you it's trillion for the Australians, that the mm-hmm. money spent for vaccines is more than 70% of the countries have as their national budget. So the money that is earned with these, or spent and earned with these with the vaccinations. So there is one possibility that it's quite simply that it is a huge money making scheme. It's not the only explanation, of course. But what is your take on that? When you heard that, I was quite astonished. I never heard that before.
Yeah, I do think that big pharma is a really, really big business. And if you could then hear what Robin Cosford was else saying, she also said that higher wealth, and specifically with the use of pharmaceuticals, it doesn't necessarily correlates with health or longevity. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word. It's very late in Europe right now. So also that the higher use of pharmaceuticals was also not correlating with longer years. Was correlating. Sorry, with longer years of disability, and that we have high side effect rates in pharmaceuticals, and it's absolutely against the mainstream narrative that high rates of infant vaccination did not correlate with good infant mortality rates or rates of childhood vaccine preventable disease. So we have some points here where we see that even what big farmers is promising is not working out, and we know that this is a big business that doesn't even help us in so many ways to really stay healthy or become healthy. I mean, I did myself, I'm also an emergency doctor doctor, and I had a diploma in palliative medicine and also in nutritious medicine. So don't get me wrong, of course. And my husband is a surgeon. We of course need allopathic medicine. Of course we need it from time to time. But we really need to be aware that there is in my private practice that I also had opened before I became my child. I really did most of my patients were taught by me how to stay healthy, what they can do to become healthy and then stay healthy. And so it's so much more about preventative medicine, what we can do before we get sick, you know. And this is something that I was missing throughout the whole pandemic. So you would not read in the newspapers what keeps you healthy. It was always every single COVID-19 case was in the newspapers, but you could never read what keeps you healthy, you know. So it's a big business, and my view on that is it's a really dangerous business. And when I look to the United States of America right now, I'm pretty sure the listeners are aware of that. So the October 20th Thursday was a really dark day in US American history, because we know that the ACIP, the advisory committee of the CDC, voted 15-0 on implementing the C19 injection for kids and adults in the U.S. Vaccination schedule. So this means that you can be pretty sure that in some states, especially the blue states, these vaccines will be mandatory for children to attend kindergarten or school, or adults or young adults to attend universities. So there is a big business complex behind this.
Yeah, that was quite clear on the conference. I was thinking when I was there that what we really are lacking and what we are running against is, on the one hand, censorship, and there's not enough publicity, or we have difficulties to get outside of the bubbles. It's like always preaching to the converted. And as you said, it's very strict. If you disagree, if you say something, you can be a Nobel Prize winner like Luc Montagnier, then you are ridiculed. And really any journalist, no matter what age, you can be 17 and just started as an intern, you're allowed to write about the Nobel Prize winner Luc Montagnier, that he's an idiot and should not be listened to and doesn't know what science is. So we are in the dark picture. I was thinking, wouldn't it be necessary that we also talk about the distribution of this? For example, the conference. There were people there. There were a lot of people, but the network. There's no, you know, if we talk about the other side, mm-hmm. if we call it that way, then they are very well networked and they are very efficient at that, and we are probably not. So how could that be improved?
I think it can be improved by the people asking for it. So, for example, in Austria, we had some entrepreneurs and a alternative newspaper, online newspaper, and many helpers, volunteers, and then a professor and the lawyer and this journalist and so many others put together a press conference about the toxic fluids of the antigen tests that kids needed to do in schools three times a week. So they could show that the ingredients were toxic, and they did this press release, and they put it in the Austrian press agency as an official press release. And for example, our press release for the press conference that we had after the Better Way conference on the 19th of September, we know that they were the most read press releases in this 1 week between 19th and 25th of September. We know it. We could look it up, and our PR guy told us that we were the most read press conference, these two press conferences taking place in Austria, but no mainstream media would report it about it. But the good thing is that many people sometimes just read these press releases because they are publicly shown. known and people can go through them, even if they are not journalists. And so people saw what was going on, but they couldn't hear then the mainstream media reporting about it. So I think there is a big awakening when we have parents and when we have brave people who just inform principals in schools, for example, about that special topic about the fluids. If we inform parents, if we inform whomever, and to ask about why mainstream media is not reporting on it. And we have, we also have, of course, the idea that in Austria and in Germany and many other countries, you need to pay to watch the mainstream media television, and it's obligatory that you pay for that. So as soon as you have a TV in your living room, you need to pay that. And so there are lots of campaigns running that you just say you will not pay this fee to the national TV stations anymore. And this is a form of protest that you can go into in Austria or Germany, for example. And I think it's there is like no recipe how to make people how to make mainstream media to report on what we are seeing. But I think if we are at the turning point right now, so if there are even more stillbirths, if there are more sportsmen with sudden adult death syndrome, this is the most tragic and most, you really need to say, crazy diagnosis that I have heard in my whole medical career. If you then have a sudden adult death syndrome suddenly, because people drop dead like flies on the streets, on the sports fields, you know, people need to wake up, and it takes for some of them longer than for the others.
Mm. Yeah, then let's get back to another issue because we have been talking about a new way of the internet, which could at least be a remedy against censorship. So let's talk about that after the next break, and please stay tuned.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
If you're a regular listener of my show here on TNT Radio, or if you've heard these daily abbreviated segments, you're well aware that the United States stands at a crossroads. Either we continue down the radical leftist road that will lead to the end of the country as we have known it, or we reverse course and return to the sanity, stability, and law and order that has guided us as a nation. The latest example of where we are now comes from Austin, Texas. Prosecutors believe that Johnny Charles Ebbs V beat his pregnant girlfriend to the point that she lost her baby back in 2019, and he will not serve any jail time. You heard me right. Ebbs allegedly assaulted his pregnant girlfriend during an argument. The warrant said that he punched her in the stomach and screamed, "F you and this baby, you aren't going anywhere." Ebbs accepted a plea deal, which says that he has not been found guilty at the time of sentencing and will have his offense dismissed if he doesn't violate his probation. Let me repackage a line that recently got Donald Trump in hot water. Wake up, America, before it's too late. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Dirk Pohlman. On today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
With Maria Hubmer-Mock, medical doctor from Austria, and the organization, the boss, I would say, from the Better Way conference in Vienna about a month ago. So there is something on the horizon.
I need to clarify, Dirk, it's the Better Way media conference, because the Better Way conference is by World Council for Health, and the Better Way media conference is something absolutely independent that I just came up with the idea because a friend of mine thought about bringing German-speaking journalists together in summer. And then I said, let's do it on an international scale. Let's do a media conference, as I was so impressed by the media people at the Better Way conference by World Council for Health. And so this Better Way media conference should be something, there is no organization behind it. It's just independent journalists that are gathering together. And the Better Way conference that my organization in Austria hosted attended was somehow the second World Council for Health Better Way conference that we then had in Vienna. So it's somehow, you know, just important to say that I'm happy to have brought the people together, and that I don't want to be called like the boss of this or the head of this. I was just putting a lot of work into it to organize it within a short amount of time. And I'm so happy that so many beautiful people got to know each other in person.
Mm. Yeah, it's sorry for that. So it's the Better Way Media Conference. We have to be correct on that. I was talking to colleagues from all over the world, and as I said, I was astonished how similar our experience is. And that is something that you only understand when you talk to people. And there's also, you might know that there after the conference, there's now a Telegram group where people still communicate. And I think this is what's really necessary. We have to think in terms of what we could do via the internet. And one of the things that I find really thrilling is that what people should know, and everyone who is in alternative media or whatever you call it, or who's into freedom of speech and also into the freedom of science, because this is also an attack on free science. You could say, you could see it very well from this first study that was published in Nature. I mean, the highest ranking, highest reputation scientific magazine that exists, and they were planting a politically tainted article that where 20 people, 20 scientists said it's of natural origin and somehow from a bat to a pangolin, something transferred a virus that then was there on the wet market. And it turns out that's not science. It was politically meant. But what is new on the horizon is really that we could have an internet which cannot be censored, because that's called IPFS for people who are interested in that. Interplanetary file system sounds a little bit strange, but it is basically hacking all the data into tiny little pieces, transmitting them all over the internet, and there's just a list. If it brings it back together, then you have the file. And if something is out in the internet, it cannot be stopped. It cannot be brought back, and you can see. So this is a new method where you don't have servers. You cannot shut down servers then with an IP address. It will be that information is distributed. And I think if there's another Better Way Media Conference, we need to address the possibilities of the internet for independent broadcasting, really. What are your thoughts on that? Have you heard about that system?
Yes, I have actually heard about that system from people that we both know, and I think this is an amazing idea. I think we should really work on that with many, many people around the world, and especially the journalists that want to be heard and not silenced. And I'm pretty sure there will be a future for that. And of course, in the next media conference, we will absolutely put an extra highlight on that. And I really do hope that things like this work out, and that there are brave IT people, like, you know, brave doctors found each other, and lawyers and scientists, and brave mothers and fathers and activists. So I hope that there are IT people listening, and that they can probably reach back to the email address for the listeners of this TV station, of this radio station, for example, so that even IT people gather together to find solutions to help us spread the message. And this is a very important thing in these times, so they cannot silence us. And I think to watch TV is like really old school, and most people that are, not on our side, for example, they also not really watch TV. They watch their TV programs on a computer. They often watch it on demand. They watch Netflix and so on. So I think the next thing is that we have way more shows TV, news programs, or documentary series, whatever, from people, from like-minded people, and then broadcasted via the internet. So that I think is the future for nice, not mainstream media narrative transporting programs.
There's also another thing on the horizon, which is automatically translating, for example, interviews or talks.
Wow.
So YouTube talks that can be automatically transferred to other languages. This is already working. It's quite expensive right now, but that's on the horizon too. But regarding IT people, it's very clear that especially in the IT business, you find people who are in good positions, who are well paid, but are not content with the way the society is running, and especially free speech is handled. This is very much about free speech, as I said, also free science, but it is about the possibility to dissent. And especially in IT, there are a lot of people who experienced the old internet, which was kind of an anarchistic playground where everything was possible. And that created a very interesting atmosphere. And you could see that the people who were involved in that were very freedom-oriented, liberty-oriented. So I think there's a huge crowd. And this is what I was, what I've found out just recently, and I think it's very necessary that we get together. So if you have the journalists often don't know about the technological possibilities, but that could give a boost to the transfer of information to the other side.
Absolutely. That sounds amazing. Yes. And I mean, I'm pretty sure that, you know, the other side knows exactly what we are doing, because there was a Vice magazine article on the Better Way conference in Bath in May, and they called us the Davos of the anti-vaxxers, you know. And so,
I call Davos the Central Committee of the imperialistic capitalist rich folks. Yeah, it's okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we were talking about that right after the Bath conference on the 23rd of May. I was doing an interview for my Crowd Resilience TV that I started, and I have on my YouTube channel some interviews with lovely people like Ryan Cole and Del Bigtree and many others. And then I was talking to Del, and then he told me that it was written like that in the Vice magazine directly after the weekend. It said the Davos of the anti-vaxxers, and you know, he said, let me be clear, they know that we are meeting, and I really do think, you know, let's give them a good show if they know that we are meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was for you the most important lecture on your conference? So this would be the way out from this program. What was most impressing to you?
Honestly, when I can tell you what was most impressing for me, it was not a lecture. I mean, there were highlights. I need to point out, especially, Robert Malone joined us two times for, one time for 90 minutes online on Thursday. That was a special of the media conference, Thursday the 15th in the afternoon. And, it was just amazing because, he gave lots of time for Q&As, and, it was so lovely when, my friend Val Fraser, she founded Safer to Wait UK, also to inform young adults and parents about the injections for, especially for the kids, C19 injections for the kids. And we asked, because I stood next to her, and I, as I said, was pretty much founding the same in Austria, what she founded in UK, but her webpage has so much great content for parents that listen. It's safertowait.com, a great webpage, a great source. And then we stood together, and well, and I asked Robert Malone personal questions, and we also said, what makes you so resilient? And you know, his answer was just so beautiful, and he I think even had tears in his eyes. And it's by the way, people can watch the replay of all the speeches in the betterwayconference.org. They can click on Vienna and videos, and then they can see on the 15th, they can see this part. So that was amazing. But what I wanted to say first, it was not a lecture. It was the evening event that we had on the 17th Saturday evening, because I do think that we people, we need to be aware that we are allowed to have fun. We are allowed to have a good time together. And it's very important for me that I also said that when we were doing big, big rallies in Austria. So I organized over a dozen peaceful rallies in Austria. It was always about music on stage as well. And so we had musicians on the stage. We had a lady with a wonderful voice in the piano. We had the rapper, and we had the Freiheitsstrichler, the Swiss guys who are ringing their bells to get rid of bad spirits. Then we also had a video conversation live with Mickey Willis. We had a video greeting that Del Bigtree sent to us. So that was the funny part after an event with so much information that is, has so many bad news somehow also in it when we hear from the pathologists and so on. But we really need to know that it is important that we spend a good time together with like-minded and like-hearted people. And there's one quote from Friedrich Nietzsche that I really want to say at this point as well, because it really fits when I say it's important for us to spend good times with each other and also have fun and just celebrate life, even if there are hard times going on. The quote is as the following, and those who were seen dancing were thought to be insane by those who could not hear the music. And so this is a quote that fits so beautifully to what's going on in the world. If you see the awakened people, and then you see on the other hand the woke people, and then you can say we are the people who are dancing. And I think that many, many more people will start to listen to the music, and then we'll come on our side.
We have to leave now, Maria. We have to the program. Yeah. We have the news coming up.